Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we open God's word. And our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. So here's your, we've opened your word, God, for you to deal with us. You know what you mean. Help us to understand. Help us to enter in not only to the experience of truth, but the enjoyment of truth. The reality, our God, will set us free. So deal with us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have been looking and studying, and in chapter 14, which we go to in a minute, in the process, we looked at God, said, if you're going to ask whatever you will, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. And that's a genuine reality. No question about it. And he intended, John 14, 12, that the works that he did to bear witness and evidence of who he was would be works that we do. And we've shared all of those things in detail. So there's no question, God, you meant every word of it, every bit of it is for real. Now, and therefore you reminded us in chapter 14 and verse 15 that if we're going to ask, we need to understand that we need to be loving your word. Now, how do we love you and your word? By keeping what you say. Now, having said that little bit and tackling that subject, that thought, we're going back to the love part. Now, and we need to understand that our human love, our human anything, our whole human life, we live it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on planet Earth. We feel, we think, we talk, we identify people, persons, places, feelings, fears. That's how we do. And that's our mind is educated that way. That is exactly what we work with. We can only work with what we have experienced and understand. You can't work with something you haven't. You can't go somewhere you haven't been. Nope, you have to look to God. Now, so God, we have to understand that our world, father, mother, love, all of those wonderful things, terms, are earthly. We use them in an earthly way. And God, you condescend, you lower yourself to use such words. Use such words as great and boundless and all of the words which never fit because there is no language to describe you. There's no English or any other language. There's no vocabulary. You know, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, untranslatable, unexpressible gift. There's no way to talk about you, God. That's right. So therefore, the danger when we read Father, love, all of those, they're human. Our human thinking takes over, whether we like it or not. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, so this human love, and we keep hitting it because it is where we are. But we need to understand the distinct difference when God says it. It is a whole heaven and earth apart from whatever we feel and know. Therefore, so when we use human love, it has to do with the desire, self-desire, to be pleasing, a state of feeling, all those different ways of saying it in the great big long list and vocabulary in a dictionary, especially in the Oxford Dictionary. Now, and the Oxford Dictionary has the history of every word all 14 volumes or whatever, 15 volumes, all of them in great length, from the beginning, the first time it was used, all the way through history. And you read it page after page of a word, so you know the history of a word. Wow. Now, so having said that, now love, here's love. Here's love, and we manifest it in persons, in the welfare of persons. We're looking to please persons. We're looking for persons to please us, to respond to us. That's why we use the word love. Now, in the part, in all of that, all of those different ways of saying it, we have father and mother. And father and mother's using that illustration, love child. They love the child. They love the child. Now, they love it, and they do. They care about that child. They are concerned about that child. That's all they can be. That's what they want for that child, the very best, as much as they understand it. Now, but when it comes now to reversing it, and then we take the little child, the little baby, and we say the baby, we hold the baby tight, the baby hugs us, and we say the baby loves us, right? See, the baby loves me. How can the baby love you? The baby doesn't even know the word and has no thought whatsoever of how to identify it psychologically or otherwise. But we talk about it. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is we use the word love, which is what we're looking at, and we use it in a very human way according to our experience and what it means to us. That's it. Now, we there and go do it in a different way. We go and the dependence, the baby is very dependent and no question, but the baby has no idea of responding to your love. It doesn't know how to do it. Doesn't know how. What you're after you want the baby to grow up and be president of the United States. The baby doesn't have any thought of that whatsoever. You want the baby to be a great physician. You have no thought of, the baby has no thought of that whatsoever. Now, so therefore, and we shared together last time, we said, I love my dog. And you love your dog, people. And I understand the term. We use it. I love my parrot, whatever it is. And you love him. And you love the dog. And you may be saying, of all different parrots, the parrot in the cage in front of me, I love it, you see. Of all the different dogs, I love that dog, see. And we talk about it. And then we go reverse to show it, and the dog loves me. Watch, he licks my face. The dog loves you. Really? That's right. The dog loves me. See, the baby loves me, the dog loves me. Now, having said that, tell me about the love the dog has. The dog doesn't have any love. You understand? They just don't. The dogs are dogs. I don't want to get into that. Now, so now, and so here we use all those words. I love pizza, XYZ pizza. I love food. We use the term. I love God. When did my term change? When did my understanding of that word change? And now, in the process, go with me, please, and we need to get the other side of the coin. And therefore, God help us. It's a whole, you see, if we did this for a whole week, 5 hours a day, and then if we could be exposed over and over again, we would begin to have then another way to counter our love of God as we understand it, as each one understands love. It means many things to many people in many different ways. Now, over, if you would please, the Gospel of John. And you understand the Gospel of John, chapter 1, picking up in thought, if I may. We know, and God, the last gospel to be written, 95, 96 AD, and all of that. Now, chapter 1, God, you're introduced, the Gospel of John is about God. an understanding of the person of God. And in the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So God, you're a God, the only God and the only Savior. And you did something wonderful, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you, born in Bethlehem of Judea, provided yourself a wonderful, perfect body by way of the Virgin Mary, and you went and indwelt that body, and the body became a unique person, the God-man, perfect humanity, perfect God in harmony, wonderfully, both, all never combined, each one separate. Humanity never becomes deity, deity never becomes humanity. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and what are we going to do now with God? Verse 12. Remember, He came unto the Jews, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Verse 11. Verse 12. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become children, sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. So when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you do that, that's what God is making possible. Emphasize, a person. God's the only Savior and the only God. You receive a person. A person. God makes Himself known in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us, so that we're able to, by His death, burial, and resurrection, to receive Him as our Savior, a person. And that person, verse 14, is full of grace and truth. And we are able to have a unique relationship to that person. Grace means God is doing the whole thing. None of our works, nothing of the flesh. It's all of God, all of grace. And God, you are one wonderful, awesome person. And when we receive you as our Savior, a person, and when you do, and you bring to us yourself by your grace, all by your lonesome, and you then allow us to have a unique experience. Verse 16. And of His fullness, of God's wonderful completeness, have all we received, grace, there's the same word, remember, as in verse 12, as we received grace for grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to continue to manifest His wonderful person, His being, His essence, His nature. He's going to keep showing His wonderful person in a most wonderful way, and God is going to do that. And as He shows Himself, as He manifests Himself, it's all about Him. And therefore, grace, how do we live? We live by grace. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. We work out by grace. Everything we have is by grace. God, it's you. You're working out everything. God, you as a person. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John, as you know, we were there a bit ago. 1 John and chapter 4. And you will note all about it. I'm going to pick up if I can. In verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation, satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, that's all wonderful, but I got to understand it or I never do it. I can't do it. Sliding down all the way to verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God has. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 16, 4 and 16. And we have known and believed in love, the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Easy, simple little words. A person in another person, God's person in your person, is love. Love? God is love. When you receive God, you received love. God is love. Quite humanly, awesomely different than our use of the word in every way, shape, and form. Now, and we share together in that wonderful, wonderful word and its usage and understanding it. It has to do with God's wonderful, perfect person. God's wonderful, perfect person. Finding himself in a believing heart. And in the believing heart, he is able to go and set in motion that which he willfully determined and decided before the foundation of the world, before angels were created. God is love. God decided, determined to create angels, humans, and of the humans, he would become one and die on the cross and rise again and be the centerpiece of all of God's wonderful creation. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, when we receive you as our Savior, you saw us back then and loved us. That's right. I wanted, say it easy, I wanted my best. The reason I'm going to create you, each one, is for because I love you. What do you mean? I have a wonderful, wonderful desire in my heart and head to make you to enjoy my wonderful person. And you have to understand, in order to enjoy my wonderful person, I have to be involved, said God. You can't enjoy me without me. Therefore, so God, as I look to you and you deal with my head and my heart, I'm going to understand that you are going to be grace and grace and grace, and you're going to provide for me that desire and that determination for the highest and best that you had in mind before anything was created, when you saw us back there, and you had a wonderful desire for what? That we would have the highest and mostest and the bestest. Not like animals, not like cabbages. No, no. A wonderful, wonderful relationship. And the highest and best is none other than myself. There is no one else. I am love, said God. There is nothing else. I'm going to give you the very best. I love you. Here I am. We're in his presence. Awesome. Awesome. Uh-huh. We're in the presence of love. God. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and you and your wonderful, deliberate choice chose and created us for your wonderful, wonderful person, and you loved us. That is, you had a purpose in creating us. You wanted us to have a unique relationship to you, / a unique relationship to your love. You wanted to love us. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to love you. I wanted to have my highest and best for you, which is myself. I am love. Hang on. Now, you have to, are you beginning to understand that is distinctly different than your use and my use of the word love? Absolutely. So when I say I love God, I better understand I got a whole new world to speak of it. When I say I love you, I have to have a whole new world. When I love Jeanette, I have a whole new world. It's not my old world. I know what that is. But oh, there's a whole nother kind of love that is to dominate and rule. And that comes out of and because of our relationship to Jesus Christ, to God. God's highest and best, all over the place. That's it. You betcha. Now, having said that a little bit, so therefore, over, you want, well, quickly we'll do it. Over to Ephesians. So you can begin just to put words that you already know together, truths you know, verses you know. Ephesians chapter 2, picking up in verse 10. I'll read verse 8, just the beginning. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace, always grace. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God, your workmanship. And we are created in new creatures, brand new, new, in Christ Jesus. The wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is his body. Unto, for what reason, God? For good works, which God hath before ordained, way back and forever, that we should walk and live in them. God, you had a wonderful person in loving us, that we could love. Allow your love to unwork itself, which means that's why we're going to have human existence. We get come to know you as our Lord and Savior, and we're able to have an outworking of what? Your goodwill. John 14, 12, you will do works just like I do. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. It's a whole new world. You bet it is. It's an awesome world. And we have to understand, if we're trying to do it from an earthly, human, fleshly, you can bet your failure with a big F. Failure. You're never going to do it in 100 years. You can pray about it and care about it. It ain't gonna, isn't going to happen. Not going to happen. And you say, well, being a Christian is what? Well, it's not being a communist and not being a cultist. Well, isn't that wonderful? You see. Now, workmanship. Over, next door, Philippians. And chapter 2. So it's God, it's your workmanship for good works. That's right. And therefore, Philippians 2, going to verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Philippians 2, 12. Work out, there's your little word, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we're going to, well, whose salvation? Yours. Listen, I have a plan for over here, for this group. I have a plan over here for this group. This plan is not your plan, and your plan is not your plan. They don't belong. It's your will, you. Draw a little circle and stand in it. That's where I'm going to do it. When it says work out your own salvation, it doesn't mean work out somebody else's salvation and sit and do all the stuff. No, you're supposed to enjoy what? God's wonderful workmanship to produce all those good works, all those wonderful things that he's going to do in your relationship to him, to allowing him, looking to him to be God, and he's going to be God, grace, and grace in place of grace. Are you going to keep being God? Absolutely. When are you going to quit? I don't quit. Christ is full of grace and truth. And that's where it all comes from. Your relationship, when we receive the Son, all of that happens. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, and having said that, go with me over to Romans, if you would. Romans in chapter 10 for a moment. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you receive the Lord, person. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, it's the right thing to do, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and you're able to say, it works. It really, really works. I'm able to know that I'm saved in rightness because of what God has done. What God has done is right, right, right. Chapter 6. Work out your own salvation. Remember verse 13, and for God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God, when we receive you as our Savior, we're going to go and work out a relationship. That's right. And it's a relationship based on your resurrection. And it's a relationship that has to do with the life that is provided by way of the resurrection. Chapter 6 of Romans, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. On the cross, Christ died, took us to the cross, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's right. It's a whole new thing. New creatures in Christ. That's right. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 10, why did you believe in your heart? You believed in your heart that he rose again from the grave. That's why you walk. You received him as your Savior, and he can't be on the cross, buried, risen, seated. God, how can I receive you? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, very God, very man. And the man part seated up there, and the God part right here. Wow. So now, having that unique relationship to God in newness of life, which Christ is our life, Colossians, as you know, Colossians 3, 4, Christ who is our life. So the love of God is to be experienced and enjoyed. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to go and understand that in a most awesome, wonderful way. Now, in the process of doing all of that, and I'll say it a different way, God loves you, loves us, loves each one. God so loved the world, he created them all. He made it possible for them to be loved. He loves them, but they don't understand. And they don't receive that love. Why not? Because if you reject Jesus Christ, you reject God. When you reject God, you rejected his love. God is love. And when you said no to Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form, you're saying no to love. God loves you. God says, I want to be, don't quench the Spirit of God. What are you doing? The fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, etc. What's the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to produce the love of God in action. But no, I don't want that, God. And we quench the Spirit of God. We cause pain, the Spirit of God. So we don't know love. Well, we don't know love. We know lots of arguments and ways to talk about things, but not God. Not God. Now, therefore, looking in the light of that, Romans chapter 6, we read, verse 11. In the light of that, then you understand the logic and the movement. God, if that's all true, and it is, then verse 11, likewise, reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're resurrected. You received, believed in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You're walking in newness of life. Therefore, reckon it. Calculate it. Calculate it. You're dead. When Christ died, you died. And you calculate all that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, having calculated that, then go to verse 13. Since you're going to count, therefore, neither yield ye your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, legs, arms, brain, blood, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, that's the person inside, the soul and spirit that's inside a person. Lots of people don't believe that. There is nothing inside. Then you have to, well, hang on, I won't do that. Now, so, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, as your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's a right thing for you to be alive. It's a right thing for you to have life. It's a right thing to have a relationship to God. It's a right thing for you to be in the love of God and having the love of God and be loved of God. And therefore, God, what are you going to expect out of us? Well, I want you to understand there's a relationship with John 1, 12, as many as received him, etc. It's a relationship to a person. That's right. Well, God, you said, if you love me, keep my word. Okay, now, you're in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And if I may, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants, bondmen, slaves, word slaves. Yeah, bondmen, slaves. Verse 18. You became the servants of righteousness. You're now alive and well on planet Earth to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in a right kind of way. A right kind of way. That's right. Sir, bondmen. Sliding, if I can, to verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, the normal way we do things, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so, now, yield your members, servants, there's your word, slave, to righteousness, unto holiness. God, we have a unique relationship to you. Work it out with fear and trembling. Uh-huh. And that relationship, it's because of love. That's because you love us, and you want us to have a unique relationship to you that honors you and allows you to produce the highest and best that you have for our little life. That's right. Therefore, I have to become what? A slave. A servant. Of whom? Of you. That's what I got to do. Because I have to do that, my God, in order to enter in. If I'm going to be loved, then I have to be loving back, and it has to produce something. That's right. It produces the results of what you have in mind, God, in the first place. It's about you in the human heart being God in all of your wonderful fullness. You are the creator of everything on planet Earth, everything in the universe. Did that come out right? I forgot Earth. Let's go past it. Everything in the universe. You created it. That's correct. That's correct. Now, and you created little old us. That's correct. Now, so God, we are to be your servants, because if you love me, keep my word. That's what you do. How are you going to love me without keeping my word? Reckon yourself dead. Well, I don't want to reckon myself dead. I don't even understand it. Then I'll wait till you do. In the meantime, you don't understand love. I am love, a person. You can talk about it if you want to. Think of the last time, I'll use your thing to get us. When was the last time you said you love God? From your heart. When was the last time you said, I love God with all my heart? Now, so God, here we are looking in your wonderful, wonderful grace. to deal with us. So therefore, we're looking for your wonderful work. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and becoming servants, slaves to God, you have your fruit. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So God, here we are looking for your bond, to be your bondmen, your slaves. How can it be anything else? Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. You represent me. In order to represent me, you have to do a relationship to my Father. My Father is the boss. He runs everything. He's the one that's going to change you. He's going to translate you, Colossians, into the kingdom of his dear Son. The word dear, of love. The Son of my love. That's what you did, Colossians 1. I moved you into the Son of my love. Be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, your thoughts. And that's why we started out. You have to change your whole way of thinking about love. It's our human use of the word, and it kills us. We talk about Father, it's our human use of Father, and we have to re-educate our little mind to scrap it in order to get where we need to go. When, if God were to take us home or take you and I home now, would the language and the understanding you have in your head and heart, would it be found up in God's heaven? What do you expect if you understand a little bit? A complete change. Whatever we got, it's all over. That's what I'm trying to get you to see now. Reckon yourself dead. I'm trying to get you to see it now. You don't scrap what you know. You just need to use it properly. Now, so therefore, Romans chapter 5. And God has to help us. And you remember that illustration of the old villager over there in Scotland or England or over there. And in the process, he was talking to his friend, neighbor, Jake. And he asked Jake, why doesn't it soften your heart to know God loves you? Jake, why doesn't it soften your heart to know that God loves you? Jake scoffed. Do you aim to tell me that the Lord loves me when he ain't never knowed me? He's never known me. The answer. Jake, it's a lot easier for the Lord to love you without knowing you than if he knowed you like I know you. You understand? God knows. Whole new world. Now, putting it together, Romans chapter 5. Sliding if I can, you know, pick up please. Oh, in verse 3, just quickly. Oh, you know, with grace, we talked about grace, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only we so, but we glory in tribulation, trial, test, trouble, pressure, squeezing, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load on top of our shoulders. We don't get rid of it. We're carrying it. And patience, bearing up under the load, produces an experience. What is experience? You're going to find you can carry it. You're going to find you're with it. How are you going to know that you can carry the load? Because you're carrying it. And you're carrying it. And you keep carrying it. And you know you can do it. It's an experience that you know. If you never picked up the load, you would never know it. Now, In verse 3, and not only, well, verse 4, I read, patience, experience, bearing up under, hope, it produces hope, and hope, expectancy, anticipation, maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make the love of God dominating, be filled with the Spirit of God. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The Spirit of God is going to go and make the whole heart, what? Loved. And all the needs and every other problem we got, God, we're finding you love us. So in the midst of it all, what? God, here's my work, my home, my school, my health, my wealth, my coming, my going, my attitude, my thinking. Here it all is. And there's God's love. And God's love is to produce the highest and best, to outwork all of that. Your work, your home, your school, your health, your wealth, to outwork it. God's loving me to outwork it. And I'm going to love him to do just that. Wow. Now, therefore, and love, the love of God, verse 5, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. So God, you're wonderful, wonderful giving, and you do in a most wonderful way. While you're here in Romans chapter 8. God, would you tie it all together? You know, Romans 6, 7, and 8, and then 8, you're going to hit it again. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work, there's that word, work out your own salvation. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You have to be loved. The love of God, the trial and test, finds the love of God awakening my heart, and I yield. And when I do that, I find that God's going to work out to help me to do right things in the right way, not my own way and not my feelings or my feel anything else. It isn't about me or my flesh. It's about you, God. And you're going to work all of that out at work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. You're going to work all of that out. Therefore, I'm counting on it, God. All things work together for good. I want it so. I love it. I love what you're doing. I love you who are doing it. I do. Now, so that's Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. What happens if you don't love God? You don't get it. Romans 28 is, forget it. You have to be loving him. Oh, I quote that verse. You can quote the verse for the next 10 years. God qualifies it. And then he adds to tell you, if you're doing that, sliding over, if you would, Romans chapter 8, and picking up, if I can, starting in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, no, we just read that in chapter 5. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or so on? Is there? No, there's nothing. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We aren't supermen, no. God just demonstrating his wonderful will as he leaves you in darkness, in the world of darkness, to be a little light in the darkness, and for God to demonstrate that he's God. How's he demonstrating his God? Romans chapter 14, verse 12, and greater works will you do than I do. Ask what you will, and I'm going to do them. Why? So people will know. How are they going to know unless it's my work? See, I'm a believer. Want to see God's work. God's working. That's right. God's loving, changing. So therefore, the trial, the test, the trouble, it's all there, and we're killed all the day long. Why? To bring out the love. Otherwise, we'd be stuck on planet Earth all the time. And we our reason, our language, our experiences go no higher than your head. They don't go anywhere. And we talk about a love and future and that. Man, boy, I'm glad God got it in hand. If we were going by humans, it would never work. Never come out. Never happen, actually. Now, so here's Romans 8, verse 35 we read. Verse 36 we read. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, God, you're loving us. That's right. We're loving you for good, and you're loving us to make it all work out, to make you more than a conqueror. I'm loving you to make you more than a conqueror. Now, what more do you want? You're asleep for the sheep for the slaughter, getting clipped, but the next thing you know, God, you're there to give us a victory. So we come out winners. God, we come out with an attitude and an understanding. God, you make it all work out for good, for your glory and honor, that we'd be thinking like you as a son. That's the verse 29, to be conformed to your image. Now, and thus, verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Well, that's pretty extensive. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to what? To separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why we received him as our Savior. And I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Wow. Wow. So it's so easy. But I've got to change. I got to re-educate my little brain and head and heart to where God's coming from and how to get it. Otherwise, we're telling people, just pray and it'll happen. Let me see it happen. Just pray. Just read the verse. You can read the verse till you're blue in the face. God, you have to get to us. That's what I'm trying to help you with. God is a person. Love is a person. And therefore, in closing about love, wow. Over to First Peter. First Peter, chapter 1. First Peter in chapter 1. And you will note, I'm going to go directly, if I can, to verse 7, in the light of trial and test and trouble, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious of your believing, your relationship, that's what it's all about, exercising and learning your relationship, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what you're looking for. What are you looking for? I don't need to see. I don't even, that's why I don't care about Jerusalem or any of that in that sense. I don't need to see visual things. If I just see that, wow, no. Think of 2 Corinthians 4. It's the things you can't see. They are the awesome things. God, it's you. That's right. It's just you. That's what it's about. Wow. Now, God, and we haven't seen you. No, I haven't. Neither have you. But we know him. He loves us. And closing, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, if you would. Picking up in thought. God? We can't see. No, we don't. We don't need to. Don't need to. And we shared that before, haven't we? To help you take time to do it. You can't see. See the person next to you? In front of you? You can't see them. You see their body. That's all you see. True? You can't see them. They're inside. All you see is their body. And if they had a problem and they had to lose their arm, you didn't lose seeing them, you lose seeing their arm. They're still there. If they lose both arms, they're still there. You can't see them. You can't see God. You can't see each other, actually. But you are there, for sure, most of you. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Paul, what are you going to tell us before you exit? Henceforth, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Remember we read that, yep. God, servants of righteousness, that's right. God, we're slaves of righteousness, uh-huh. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them, that includes us, also that are loving his appearing. We haven't seen him yet, but we love him. And we're loving his appearing. And we don't think of how many people are. The church just told me the other day, someone did. We never hear that. The Lord's imminent. We're supposed to be looking for to be taken up. Raptured. We're looking for his appearing. What do you mean? I'll say it my way. God, you're loving us. And we're loving you. We're looking for the relationship to our work. And you told us to be looking at it. At any moment, it could happen. And God, we're looking. And all those, the love is appearing. God, you're here, we are. We're waiting. How many believers are doing that? How many even think about it? They think about their rent and their pain and their heartache, and all of those things need to be understood. But at any moment, God is going to take us. And that has been from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. The Lord Jesus said, if I let you live until I come. Now that's till I come. I could do that, couldn't I, John? Now John would have to nod, yes, siree. Yes, siree. Well, God, here we are at 1,000 statements later, and God, you're saying, we're to be looking for your imminent return. Absolutely. Because I love you. In fact, we can't read it. If you read it, we'll do it somewhere. John chapter 17. I'm waiting for you to be where I am, to see my glory. I love you to be, I want you to be there. I long, love, and wait for your appearance. Wow. And here we are down here. Yeah. I say the church. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and all that you are. God, exercise our little head and heart. God, I got to get it straight and straighter and straighter. And God, I louse my own self up because I insist in my stubbornness and stupidity. I insist on my own thinking and my own way of doing it. And therefore, God, I lose out. So God, you got to help me. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for caring. Thank you for being long before being angry. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. So deal with us. It's an awesome thing. You said it. As my Father sent me, so send I you. God, what a wonder. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.